John tells us an amazing thing. He says, love not the world. Why? Why would he say, love not the world? And he said it almost 2,000 years ago. What an amazing thing to say. In the midst of this material world at that time, love not the world. They must have thought he's gone out of his head. Neither the things of the world, the things that are in the world, love not. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Apply that today. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think of the things that are in this world that we are not to love. Things that are even considered holy. Look at the churches. Look at the flowers. Look at the music. Hear it tinkle. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we could not see through that statement. We were mystified. It was telling us that the things in the world are unreal. Even those beautiful skyscrapers that we admire so much, they're part of the world. Does that shock you? If a man love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Translated, it's a rather strange translation. It means if you love these things that are considered even beautiful, works of art, if you put them on the shelf up high as the greatest things in the world, you are making a mistake. A while for the warmth of this truth to come through. Imagine the great operettas that have been written, the great operas, the great poetry, the great books. It's all in the world. If a man love the world, do you find the truth of what he's saying? If you believe in these things as a reality, you're lost. You're lost in the falseness, in the pretense. You're lost in even the honest belief that these are the things of God. They are not. And do you know why they're not the things of God? Surely you do. But I'll remind you. Are these things that are so wonderful and beautiful that we all admire, are they spirit? See, after we have to turn off the world that is not spirit. Now he's writing and telling us how we can follow in the path of Jesus and walk out into a kingdom that lasts forever. So in our consciousness, we have to be aware that we are not in the kingdom that lasts forever, that we are not admiring the things that last forever. And while we are not admiring the things that last forever, where are those things? We have to take our vision and change it. However it hurts. However, we learn that when we change it to that which is capable of seeing, of feeling, of knowing, of sharing reality, which is all spirit, we have found the true substance as against the sham substance. Does that include the painting of Michelangelo, Da Vinci, the music of the great composers? Yes, it does. The painting of Michelangelo is pigment, physical. Oh, it's beautiful. It's lifting. But the reality that it tries to depict is the reality that we must be part of. Or else the love of the Father is not in us. Now we have a shocking change then, haven't we? We have to come down. We cannot understand it in the visible world. We have to enter into our closet. We have to listen. We have to hear the voice that explains it to us. And the voice somehow says it like John says it. It rings with a commanding clarity. It just fastens you to where you are. We listen to John. The world passeth away. Oh, that's why. The world passeth away. All of these beautiful things, they pass away. They weren't creations of God. And lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, forever. All of these incredible, beautiful, glorious things pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then making these beautiful things cannot be the will of God. We had thought so. I know most of us think so. It's not the will of God. You've got to go beyond that, beyond this beautiful material creation of fabulous art. The world passeth away. And that is chapter 1 John, chapter 2, line 17. The world passeth away. Now, do you know a human being who can tell us that? And the things thereof. But he that doeth the will of God doesn't pass away. Did you hear that? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Michelangelo passed away to return another day. Many of the great artists and scientists of our time, without fail, have all passed away. They were not doing the will of God. They were doing something marvelous that we could all admire. What was the will of God? They had to learn it. Maybe some of them have. We have to learn it. We could be the most magnificent craftsmen in the world. That has nothing to do with the will of God. The will of God is not in the material world. We're in the wrong substance. We're not in the spirit. That's a big jump. To turn away from the magnificence, the achievements that we have considered so incredibly superior, and to sit quietly to develop the spiritual awareness that is the will of God. Why do you believe there would be a teaching to give up the beautiful things, sit in the silence, and listen for the voice of God? Because we are going from the fourth world, which is the world of magnificent matter and ugly matter, both. And we are moving from that world to the fifth, and that is the will of God. And that's your priority. To be the greatest artist in the world is not your priority. The greatest architect is not your priority. The greatest doctor, the greatest human. To have the abilities of Einstein, that is not your duty. His duty, and the great artists, the great designers, the great scientists, their duty is all the same. To listen to the word of God. No one can tell them what they must do. They must hear the voice of God. That's who runs the universe. We don't. And if we try to run it, we make the mistake of finding out too late that to run it is to lose it. It's a terrific message that Spirit gives us. It says, be my son. Do my will. That's what I demand. Because unless you do my will, you cannot fulfill the requirements of life in the spiritual world. If you're doing your will, you've narrowed it down to a human will. So each of us who follows the Spirit can be thankful that we have held on this long, because as we go further, we find that as we develop spiritual capacity to hear the will, and then to follow the will, and then to be the will, we are fulfilling the requirements of attaining life in the fifth world, where there isn't any great art or any great architecture, where all the things that are so admirable in this world are not. We're going to a world which we can only surmise a bit. I'm quite sure that we can make all sorts of conjectures about what it is, how magnificent. But we can't be accurate about it. We are not God. If we could be accurate about it, we'd be doing it. We'd be setting it up. It's beyond the mortal mind. Do you see the wonder of where we're going? To be invited to this kind of a kingdom, which is imperishable, which is forever, eternally, so constructed of invisible substance that we can only admire it and say, I'm just so grateful that I somehow qualify. Do you think we're worthy of that? Do you think we are? Perhaps we're not in our present state. But if we know anything, we're getting very worthy, because we've got to. We've got to, or else we'll always be coming back and back and back, working the make-believe. And at the highest point in this life, a man has more when he's at the lowest point than the next one. You have more when you're just beginning the fifth consciousness, the fifth spiritual world, than a man who is at the highest place in the fourth. That's the way it is. It's just the way it is, and the way we have to learn to accept it. He that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. If I have the ability, and I only have it through grace, if I ever develop that grace into an ability that can do the will of the Father, that is the highest achievement that can be achieved. When you can perform the will of the Father, you know, first of all, that it can only come to you through his will, that you perform the will of the Father. And then the dimensions of it are so vast that there's no human being knows what the dimensions are. Where do we start? We don't know how. We don't know how to perform the will of the Father. We have to be taught. But think that the Father wants to teach us how to live in His will. The greatest gift that a man can receive. If I know that my child can receive the will of God and live in the will of God, I can't ask any more for my child. I can let go and say, glory be, I've reached the summit of a man's hope. Things that can be done for that child, I can't begin to do. All I can do is simple things. I can't keep that child forever alive. Only the Spirit of God can. And this is the promise that He has promised us. Even eternal life. It doesn't make any difference what you and I think. John, the Spirit of God tells us that God has promised us eternal life. We all want it. What do we have to do to get it? How little children, he says, abide in him. That which he shall, when he shall appear. And this is spectacular because it says specifically, when he shall appear. Confidence. It's really a strange statement. There's an appearance of Him, and we presume He means the Father. We shall have confidence. Did any of you expect that He shall appear? But at this level, it is different. He can appear at a level when you are at the high spiritual level. Perhaps why that's why no one in the world has seen God. But it says here, when he shall appear, we shall have confidence if we have lived this way that is described. Not be ashamed. Before him. I really didn't expect that we'd see this, that someone would have the capacity to say to us, maybe we are at a higher level than we've ever been, that we have seen him. That he should appear and we shall have confidence when he does appear. I can't imagine it. I can't even imagine being able to stand there. It's clear that we're going to see things that we have never seen before. And we must be beings at that time who are quite different from anything we've ever seen also. To have the capacity to see what he says we will see. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's nice to be reminded to think of it. We are the sons of God. Why should we be surprised to be lifted up to see him? They say no man on earth has seen God. Well, no one on earth has been the son of God. I have a suspicion now that there are sons who have seen God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I can't think of anything so incredible. To be called the Son of God and to know that you are. What degree of love has been engendered for this to happen? Have we earned it? No. What have we done to be born of the love of God? Can you think of anything that you'd rather be? I can't. What is the price we pay for the love of God? No price. Maybe the price is fidelity. Fidelity. To show forth the same love that God shows forth to everyone we know. To learn by example. And we'll have evidence of that love in our life so that we can do it. Because each one becomes God. I and the Father become aware of our oneness. We are being introduced to the miracle of miracles, and we are the central part of it. Quite different than human developments, human achievements, human creativity that disappears in the darkness as the world turns over and over and over and over. This is what we want. This is what we get. And if we pay the price, it comes to us. The price is maybe the word fidelity is a weak word, but it'll have to do, because fidelity to God's will, and His will is expressed. You say, well, how do I know? You don't hear it from your fellow man. God is wired to you direct. In fact, you've only one place you can get it is in the still small voice. Each one of us is wired to the infinite creator. The infinite creator lets us know what the infinite creator wants. We abide in it. What a plan. Who can do it? Who can't? Well, I know all those who can't do it think they can't, but they will. Every knee will bend. You're going to be greater than you ever dreamed you are. There's this power loving you. And you can't turn away. And then you look around and you see a friend here and a friend there who have surrendered to the power. And where they are and what they're showing forth. And you say to yourself, I forgot to do it. Certainly, if they had the strength to do it, I have. Well, that's how the kingdom is going to be formed. Each of us, in turn, surrenders everything we have. Everything. And we do it. Somehow it's like drawing out of us what we didn't know was in us. But as we surrender, the strength of us is given to surrender more. And finally, every life in heaven is run by God. Every life in heaven runs under divine will. And the ability to yield to divine will is what we are developing. The ability not to yield to material will is what we are also developing. And the confidence, if I can do this, I know I will walk with the Father. Behold, what manner of Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I am the son of a mother, the son of a father, but now my father is a son of someone else. My mother is a son of someone else. They had to learn, or didn't learn, what I am about to learn. I am not the son of the mortal. I am not the son conceived in the womb. I am the son of God. I couldn't conceive of this before. I couldn't begin to know what it means, and I don't know now. I have the edge. I'm hanging on the edge of it. But I know it's true, and I'm lifted higher and higher. I will realize more and more what I am. And I can live with that knowledge now, because what I will be is what I am. They're both the same. I am the Son of God, but I don't yet know the miracle. You are the Son of God. Right now. You don't know the full meaning of what it means to be the Son, but you know that it's overpowering. To be the Son of God is the truth of us. Something has to give. Something that I can't be a mortal and the Son of God. You see that? So I'm something more than a mortal. I'm more than a prince. I can't conceive of what it is to be the Son of God. But that's me. That's you. It will be a glorious achievement to catch a degree of what that means. That's where we're heading. We are the sons of God. Doesn't matter what we look like, what we act like, how ungodly we have been. We have reached the point where we can understand what John is telling us. You are the Son of God. Somehow, within us, we'll each take it a different way. But I would say to myself, if I'm the Son of God, how can I act like a human being? It doesn't make any sense, does it? If I'm the Son of God, what is the Son of God to do? How can I be worthy of such an incredible state of being? We're going to have to learn how to be worthy, truly worthy. And I think that's what our task is, learning how to be worthy of being the son of the only father in the world. Because even if we're not worthy yet, you can truly say, God is my Father. I am not worthy. I am not. I know I am not. But oh, how I want to be. And if we all echo the truth that we are walking toward that achievement, then we have come a long way. I feel that we have come a long way. So I'm ready to say, this is a beautiful class tonight. I know it will lead to a better class and a better life, something that the Father can feel. We are doing our job to the best of our ability, and we'll do better as we go along. So I thank you. It's been very nice to be here and to feel the unanimity, because I think we share something, something that'll go with us wherever we go. Thank you.